Well, greetings this morning again in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is Lord. The next one says, "You're my Lord." Amen. You're my Lord. Let's have Him as our Lord. God bless each one of you. It's good to see your faces. Sense and anticipation around here, a freedom of hearts. God bless each one of you as you keep letting God plow your hearts and open your hearts and just clean it all out. I think the cups are getting cleaner and cleaner, aren't they? And the cleaner they get, the freer we are just to worship the Lord. I'd like to make a few comments yet concerning yesterday. There was a young man that came up here afterwards that had a pen with soft leads in it and a whole multiple of them in one pen. You might want to check whether something like that is available. Wherever you go looking for something, if you do, it'd probably be more convenient than having multiple pencils. Also, I failed to mention when you're reading through the Bible, I would highly recommend that you read Old and New Testament simultaneously and not just read Old Testament for a long period and then read New Testament, but read a portion in the Old and then some in the New. And obviously you need to read more in the Old, probably about three times as much or something like that in the Old versus the New. Also, I wanted to mention yesterday, start with something that does not overwhelm you. Don't go diving into something way deep and then you can't handle it. It's better to bite off a piece that you feel confident you can handle with the schedule in your life. Might have to rearrange the schedule a little bit. But that you can feel confident you can handle it and then set yourself to doing it. And also, continuing to drink sincere milk while you're eating meat, that's good. We don't throw the milk away. We still need the sincere milk. Just the simple truths that aren't way down deep, those inspiring things. Well, we have another standard to set in our lives today. The last three we looked at can be a tremendous blessing in your life. And I'd like to set this one right up next to all three of those with the same value, the same blessing, and the same importance. Submission and humility. Submission and humility. If we can set that standard in the days of our youth and lay it as a foundation in our life to build on for the rest of our lives, we can be beautiful plants and trees that just flourish and grow and mature and prosper and bear fruit and bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus. Submission and humility. I'd like to bow our heads for a word of prayer before we go on. Lord Jesus, this morning we beg You for the anointing of Your Spirit, the anointing power of the Holy Ghost. We plead with You, Lord Jesus, You would open heaven over hearts today. God, we're here begging that You would come by Your Spirit and speak to every heart in this room today, Lord. We beg You, Lord Jesus, that You would bless those that know what it is to be under authority, to walk humbly with You, before You and before their authorities. Oh God, we also beg You for those that have some reserves that are holding back and they're not completely letting go. Oh God, would you come and deal with our hearts? Bring us, Lord, to a place of complete surrender in this matter. Also plead with you, Lord Jesus, for those that are sitting here with rebellious hearts, with hard hearts. Oh God, would you come from heaven and talk to us today? Lord, we plead with you that by your Spirit you would come and talk to us and convince us where we are. We beg you for your holy presence to come down upon this place, Lord. We plead with you, Lord Jesus, that you would come and have the preeminence here, O God. Let the power of your Spirit flow into every heart here, God. Cause trembling to come before you, Lord. Oh God, let your awesome holiness come into this place today, God. We plead with you in Jesus' name, Lord, for the revelation of your Spirit to grip our hearts today. Oh, let the fire of the Holy Ghost burn in every soul here today, Lord, and consume us with a passion and an open heart to see who you are, and let us see you, Lord. Oh God, come please, Lord Jesus, come. We beg you that you would just come and let us see who you are. Let us see who we are before you. God, bring a brokenness. Bring a brokenness into our hearts, Lord. Let your awesome presence and power and authority come down upon us, Lord Jesus. Let your word have its right place today. Lord Jesus, speak to us from your life. We bless you in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. I don't have papers to pass out this morning, but I would like to ask you to sit here and to just listen this morning with all of your heart. And I realize, in one sense, we're all a little bit like this sponge, or maybe a lot like this sponge. And one of the burdens on my heart this morning is, some of us are sitting here, if this sponge was our heart, we're hanging on to it just like this with both hands. Just hanging on for dear life, not wanting to let go of self, not wanting to get off of the throne of my life, not wanting to surrender my heart and will. We sit here just hanging on with both hands. You might have been sitting here already being convicted by the power of the Holy Ghost, and you're just hanging on. No, I won't let go. I won't get out of my seat. And God is wanting to, by His Spirit, soak us up in His Word. But we keep hanging on and we won't let Him do it. And we come out looking like a dry sponge and it's having no effect on us. My friend, I'm begging you this morning, let go of the sponge. Let go of the sponge. Open up your heart, my friend. Would you please? Would you let go this morning? My friend, don't harden your heart. But open your heart to what God might want to say to you today and the rest of the week. Some of us are sitting here like this, clenched in one hand. Oh yeah, I'm getting some blessing. I'm getting some blessing, but I'm holding on and I have reserves, and there's a couple spots that I just can't see how I can let go of them. And God is wanting to put you in the water. Under His Word, being under His will, but you're still hanging on. Yeah, you drip a little, but when you let go, there's really not that much. It has a little bit of effect. I'm here to plead with you, my friend. Let go of the sponge. Let go of your heart. Let it all go. Surrender it. Surrender it to Jesus. Surrender it to your authorities. Submit yourself and humble your heart. Because God, what God really wants to do is He wants to take us and put us down under and soak us in the Word and soak us some more.
And if we're willing to give up our wills, if we're willing to surrender and submit and humble ourselves before God and before man, before authorities, He will soak us in His Word. He will bless us. This sponge has never been soaked, but it's like God wants to do in our lives. He's soaking us all week. We let it in here. It'll just keep absorbing probably for the next 15, 20 minutes. And it's going to become totally saturated. Totally saturated. If you sat here on Monday, you thought you got soaked a while. And the water's running off, but you can put it in on Tuesday and you can soak some more. And you'll retain some more and the water's still running off. And on Wednesday it's the same way. And my friend, it's still the same way today. Go ahead and soak yourself in the Word of God and get down under. Get down under. Oh, to let God have His way in our lives. And the more we soak it, the more saturated it gets. Submission and humility. Submission and humility. I'd like to share part of my testimony this morning with you. I grew up as an Amish boy. And where I grew up, there was not very much respect between parents and children. In fact, the goal of my life was to turn 16 and to go live it up and destroy my life as far as purity in serving Jesus. Just make a mess of it. That was my goal. We used to call it sowing wild oats, living for the flesh. My parents made a decision to change churches when I was 13. And I thank God for that. At 15, I got born again. But before I got born again, I was a rebellious young man. The friends I had, we'd look at our dad like the old man. And my friend, that's a heartbreaking thing to me this morning. He's not the old man, he's Dad. He's my father. There was much to learn. I got born again and some of those things changed right away. That was one of those that made Jesus Lord of my life. And I got into seeking the Lord and got involved in evangelism and the setting we were in. The church was sort of laid back on those kind of things. Now I was one of the aggressive ones that was moving forward, and there was others that were too, and souls were getting born again and getting saved and things were happening, but finally we had to get out or settle down. And we left. And in the midst of all that, I developed an attitude of being a spiritual high flyer. And I'm here to beg with you, if you're at that place today. I went on that way for a while. I had all the answers. My opinion was most important. I had an attitude of, come on guys, let's go. But some of that is okay in its right place. I even came to a place where I felt I didn't have any pride in my life. And today, looking back on that, it's one of the lowest places for a Christian to stoop to. And then one day God started laying His finger on my heart. What about this pride? What about it, Paul? What about this arrogant attitude towards authority? What about it? I had the blessed opportunity of going, starting to ask people to forgive me for my attitude and how I treated them and just the air about me from one place to another place to another place. And my friend, I was about 21 by the time God started dealing with me. And as I look back, it would have been so much easier at 15 or 16. It would have been so much easier at 15 or 16. And I know we're not all 15 or 16 here today, but what I'm trying to say is we have no time to lose. We have no time to lose. I found myself battling. The days went on, all of a sudden I'd catch myself back in this ugly dragon's mouth of pride. And I hope, well, now I've got him gone. And he'd come back round again just as soon as I thought I had him gone. About a year after we were married, I was having a season of just seeking God to get closer to Him and somehow make more progress. And God started laying on my heart that I need to start preferring others. Preferring others. I didn't know how. I didn't know how. How do you do that? I simply went around and started asking people, how do you prefer others? I didn't know how. Young person, I'm here to plead with you today. Set this standard in your youth. Set this standard in your youth of humility, of submitting to authority. I started responding to my father like you should just before I got married. I don't want that for you. Don't wait until then. Don't wait until then. I don't regret having done it then. But I ought to have had that for the year. One thing I found, preferring others is totally dependent on humility in our lives. It's totally dependent on humility. We cannot make progress when we're arrogantly going through our lives. I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, this is about Jesus. I'm going to start reading in verse 40. First of all, I'd like to just simply look at, we're at Bible school. And you'll understand that in a little bit. Now the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And here, him turning 12 and going up to Jerusalem is like you turning 16 and going to Bible school. It's just a lot like that. This was a highlight. I'm going to the feast. He's going to the feast. And just imagine the excitement, the enthusiasm, the fire that burned in his heart. I'm going to Jerusalem and I'm going to the feast. I'm going to the feast. Just like you were excited, I'm going to Bible school. I'm going to Bible school. We're going to meet with God there. Verse 43. And when they had filled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him have been in the company when the day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. Here's Jesus in Jerusalem, and he is just enjoying himself. He is having a grand time. He's having the time of his life. And it's time to go home, and he is so enraptured in what's going on that he doesn't even think about going home. He's back in the temple, and he's staying there. They left without him. He never even realized that mom and dad left. He never even realized it. He was on a mountaintop experience. He was totally enraptured, engulfed in being in Jerusalem, being at the feast, being in the temple. Verse 45, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Here he was, just basking in the riches of the teachings of the Word, in the midst of the doctors and teachers. And here we are at Bible school, just basking in the riches of the Word of God, having the Word of God being laid on our hearts session after session after session and day after day after day. And we can fall on our faces before God and pour out our heart, and heaven is opening up and the glory of the Lord is coming down in our lives. And it's okay to be enraptured, my friend. Go ahead and be enraptured. Jesus did it too. That's okay. That's just fine. But his parents are looking for him. Verse 48. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, now listen, he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? How is it that you went looking for me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Didn't you know that I need to be about my Father's business? And they understood not the saying which he said unto them. Here he was. He was gaining a new spiritual insight. He was seeing beautiful truth. Heaven was open over his life. He was sensing a higher calling. He was sensing a higher calling. I need to be about my Father's business. He was sensing a higher calling, and even said, well, Mom, why did you all even look for me? Don't you understand that I need to be about the work of God? There's this fire burning in my heart, Mom. There's this zeal burning within me that's starting to consume me. Yes, the seal of his house was starting to burn there already at 12. He was gaining new spiritual insights. He was sensing a higher calling. And his parents understood not. His parents understood not. I wonder if any of us find ourselves at that place. They don't understand. They're not on the same page. They didn't understand. Young person, you might get home, and mom and dad might wonder where you're going. What's going on? And they might not understand. They might not. Remember this. Jesus' parents didn't understand either. So if you bring your heart to Jesus and tell him all about it, he'll understand what you're talking about. He'll understand all about it. If there ever was somebody that wasn't understood, by their parents, I think he would have been the one. They didn't understand. He was way over their heads.
Well, where's Bible school?
Jesus was in Jerusalem. And here's the situation.
Now what did he do? Verse 51.
And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Here he is with all these spiritual insights, sensing a fresh calling, a higher calling. The zeal of the fire of the house of God is starting to burn in his heart to the point that it's consuming him, to the point where he's thinking, I need to be about my Father's business. It's time to get going here. And he's 12. He's 12.
And he went with them. He went home with them.
It says he was subject unto them. He was subject unto them. They don't understand me. They don't see what God is saying in my heart. And they didn't. They didn't. They're not hearing from God like I'm hearing from God. They didn't. But he was subject unto them. He was subject unto them. He was sensing a higher calling. He was sensing stirrings in his heart to move on. But he went and worked in a carpenter shop. He went and worked in a carpenter shop. Drilling holes. Shaving corners. Fitting things together. Driving nails. But he was sensing a higher calling. What about it? How is God feeling about all this? Here God is giving him new insights. Here God is putting a higher calling in his life. God is starting to lay a burden on his heart. I wonder how God feels about him walking off to Nazareth from the temple and submitting to his parents, drilling holes, shaving corners, fitting pieces, driving nails. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Beauty. Just beauty. Jesus is drilling holes. He's shaving corners. And God is smiling on him. God bless you, my son. Later he said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. And that's the passion of my heart this morning, that every one of us could have God look down on our hearts and look at us and say, oh, my son, my daughter, I am well pleased with what I see in your life. Yes, you might have a higher calling. You might be seeing new spiritual insights. You might be way above mom and dad. They might not understand, but my young person, let's do what Jesus did and go and submit to them. Just go and submit to them. Go ahead and drill the holes, wash the dishes, fit the pieces, sweep the floor. Take care of brothers and sisters. And let the face of God shine down on our hearts and smile on us. Oh, this one's well pleasing to me. This one is well pleasing to me, he says. Go keep the sheep. Go keep the sheep. Work in a carpenter shop. This is not the time to draw away. This is not the time to draw away. You know, Jesus could have said, well, they are totally missing it. It's time for me to step out and go start my ministry. They won't understand me anyway. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. He submitted himself. I believe that Jesus is our perfect example of submission and humility. He was the Son of God. He was the Son of God. But I believe He was being an example for us. Just like in baptism, He was fulfilling all righteousness so we could take a look at His life and see what we need to live like.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. If you would like to listen to part two of this message, please press 8 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 9-9. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 8-8. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 7-7. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.